Word of God reads in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 12. It says, and do this. Okay, pay close attention to what it says. And do this, understanding the present time where we're currently living in. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another glorious day. A day, Lord, that we open up our doors from our church here on earth, Lord, to come in and worship your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us the desire, Lord, to be here, Lord, to worship and honor you, Lord. We ask, O Lord, that the words that proceed from my lips, Lord, may they be guided by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that it edifies your people, Lord, but ultimately gives you all the honor and all the glory. Amen. Amen. So, the theme for this year is passion. Okay, and we spoke about it last week, about how living for Christ in a mediocre way of just getting up and just not doing anything really important, just living, I'm putting in quotations, just living the Christian life, it's not really the way God intended us to live, being Christians. I mean, he really wants our dedication, vibrancy, dynamics, and that enthusiasm. That's why the book of Ephesians says it's the book of joy. We as Christians are to live in joy, and it doesn't matter what type of situations we live in. We live them in joy because our foundation, our source of hope is Jesus Christ, and he is our joy. So, The book of Romans here is telling you that it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up, and as we say, and smell the coffee, because I know some of you guys aren't coffee drinkers, but or smell the tea, or smell something, but wake up. Wake up. We cannot continue living our Christian life in a very mediocre fashion, very nonchalant, very, very, you know, unappetizing, unstrength fulfilled, just like every single day, very humdrum. That is not what we are intended to do. So the theme for 2020 is passion. Live my Christian life in passion. And passion derives from the love that we have for God. So as we begin looking at God's word and trying to find the passion so that it ignites something inside our lives, let us continue with the message today. But first of all, have I ever told you how much I hate my alarm clock? I mean, every day when it goes off at 5:30, it's like, good Lord, grant me lightning from heaven. So I can go, whoosh! It and make it disappear. And you, some of you say 5:30. I hate it even more because I have to wake up even earlier than that. But if you begin to think about this, if you begin to think about it, that irritating noise in the midst of all the silence of your bedroom and at night and early in the morning, when you begin hearing that nah, 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 alarm going off. I did that very well because that's my alarm clock. Okay? Okay? It causes you to do something. It causes you to get up and off. I smacked mine down. But, and it's lasted a good many years. After all, I don't even go. I go, quiet. But that noise, that irritating noise, woke me up and caused me to do something. I mean, I have to quickly, because it wakes up my wife, I have to quickly go up and across the room, right? Because I lived many years in my life where the alarm clock was just here, cousin, and I just, and then I go back to sleep. Then before you know it, it's that whole home alone experience, and then trying to get out because I was late to work, right? But I keep hitting that snooze button and quieting it down. I mean, I would say that alarm clock really served its purpose, right? And the purpose was really to wake me up from my slumber and at a specific hour and get up. Awaken. That's why today's sermon is awaken those that slumber. I mean, when we look at the verse in chapter 13 in the book of Romans, Paul is really telling here to the church of Rome to wake up. Wake up. Put aside all your selfish and sinful desires and clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Which really means that do not try to satisfy the desires of the flesh again and again and again. It's time to wake up and become different. It's time to wake up and not continue doing or living the way we have been living before. I mean, in the chapter, Paul here is giving them some last-minute exhortations along the lines of principles that he has been writing throughout the whole letter. In chapters 13 and 14, he addresses something that has been here underlying in the letter, which is the relationship that the Jewish believers in Christ and the Gentiles believers in Christ were having. These two come from different backgrounds and are now coming together. They are now colliding into this one church, and each coming from their respective cultures, some of the Jewish culture, some of a pagan culture, but now they have found Christ, and now we put this mix of believers into one place, and guess what's going to happen, right? There was all this anger and bitterness and confusion going on there. So Paul is exhorting them and is telling them to be sensitive to the needs of the brother, your brother in Christ. Be sensitive to where they're coming from. He says, don't hate your brother, love your brother. But they're not like me, love your brother. Word of God tells us how easy it is for us to love those that love us, right? But that's not the commandment. The commandment is to love your enemies, because those are the ones that are really going to jive us, poke us, and are really going to make us stress about situations like that. Because it's those people that can really drive us crazy, right? The ones that we get along with, your friends, they become your BFFs, and you know, and you talk to them, they're not the ones, you already love them. But the Word of God is not focusing on them. The Word of God is focusing on those that are not your friends. The ones that are irritating you, the ones that are causing you to think of things that are not very nice and pleasant. Okay? The Word of God is saying, those are the ones that you should be with. I mean, there might be tendency in the church here in Rome, there might have been a tendency for Gentiles to live like Jewish brethren, that they were making such a big deal of everything. And for the Jewish believers to feel like the Gentile brethren were far too ethically lax. And some were saying, no, some, you're so uptight. Yeah, but you're so lax. You know, so that was the whole problem that was going on there. So Paul told them that they were to love one another. And seek not to cause offense one toward the other, either by being too strict or too lax about issues, about, for example, the issues of food. What was clean, what was not clean. You're making such a big deal out of it. So this ethical problem, this ethical squabble that they were having, aren't important. What is important is living as a true and sanctified disciple of Christ. We are no longer how we used to live before. In here, it's a brand new arena. We are all now Christians. You are no longer a Gentile. You are no longer a Jew. You are now all sons and daughters of Christ, of God. And that is what we are intended to live by. Not by those things. And if we manage to understand that concept, then you begin to realize that guess what? We really don't have any differences. Because all of you guys are here to praise the Lord, right? Or some of you guys are not. See, we already come. We're all here to praise God. We're here to learn from God. We're here to talk to our brothers and sisters. There's so much commonalities when we are here in the house of God that brings us together than things that can actually tear us apart. What will tell you apart is if you walk through this door thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm still better than everybody else. I don't care. Yeah, Jesus lives in my heart, but I'm better than you. No. All of you, we all walk through those gates right there, through those doors, with a thankful heart for everything that God has done for us. And when we are all on the same level, when we're all in that same plane, there are no differences amongst us. We've reached that level of understanding. Now, Paul's final intervention is really telling them, don't live the way you guys have lived before, fulfilling your selfish desires. He says, wake up. Wake up. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. And Gentiles and Jewish believers will now reflect, they're to reflect now their new transformed life, right? It was a wake-up call for them because the way they were living was not acceptable. Was not acceptable. You see, waking up is actually an action that gives us a new start. When you wake up, it's a new day. When you wake up are new things you're going to experience in that day. If you stay asleep, you will never begin to experience the new things that you will find on that day. Right? Life will pass you by. And all there. Heard the story of Rip Van Winkle, right? Or read it, Google it. Rip Van Winkle. Slept for 20 years. 20 years he fell asleep. Right? And when he wakes up, he's like, what's going on? You know, what's going on? My brother-in-law, who has been incarcerated for way past 25 years or something like that, when we go and visit him, I start talking to him about the internet and faxing and emailing and all that. And he says, what's that? He said, I don't understand those concepts. And he hears me saying, and we're so, you know, even now, second graders, kindergartners understand what email and texting and all that. But here's this 40-plus-year-old man that doesn't understand that concept because time in his place has passed by, right? And so there's the Paul is telling them, wake up, but we take from this message, and he's telling the church now, he says, brothers, wake up. Wake up so that you can begin to live and experience a new day. I mean, when you really think about it, sleep kind of looks like you're dead, right? I mean, sometimes my wife tells me, she says, you know, sometimes you're just lying there that I just go over here to see if you're just going up and down, up and down. Or she'll say that sometimes you're there. I'll just kick you to see if you move. Because you're just, and I am, I mean, I am here, right? We have this king-size bed, but the queen is on the bed. I'm just here. You lay me down here, I wake up right here, right? In fact, I slip my foot and I'm off the bed right there, but I do not move. I am right there, right? Yes, it's very impressive. Which leads her to believe, oh my God, is he alive? Wake up, right? I mean, I'm that A-type personality that I cover myself. They're all nice and clean like this, like that. And I sleep there and that's the way you'll find me in the morning, right? So I can understand her predicament, right? I can understand why she worries now and then, right? But death is sleeping is pretty much like being, you know, like you're dead. I mean, the Bible uses figurative language to refer to death, right? And it uses the word sleep for death. And the getting up and the waking up, it uses it sort of like to be resurrected, to come back from death. So when we sleep, we go into this latency, this no action kind of state. Who knows, you know, that we live in. Some of you guys, some of us, right? Some of us are just all over the place. But, and who knows, spiritually speaking, maybe 2019, maybe you all were asleep as well. Spiritually speaking, right? Spiritually, because you don't come here to church asleep, right? I didn't hear an amen, but I'm going to assume it's an amen. But we could be awake, but our spirit could be dormant. Okay? Our spirit could be sleeping. I mean, you might have spent 2019 fully asleep and not even be aware of it. I mean, not really doing anything for God, just lethargic, immobile. I mean, the spiritual alarm went off during certain sermons, and you didn't even hear it. You didn't even hear enough to hit the snooze button. And that's bad. Okay? That's bad. So for the year in 2020, God is telling you now, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. We cannot continue living the way we did before. This is not a command to wake up physically. It's a command to wake up spiritually. The church, you may come to church, but there's still, you know, you could still be spiritually asleep. This is the reason why there's no desire. There's no desire to do anything at church, right? You're lethargic. He says, oh, let's go to this ice skating activity. I really don't want to. I'm just going to stay home. Well, then why don't we go to church and pray then? Oh, no. I've never done that. You know, I'll just stay home and watch TV. But let's go and have this activity. Let's go out there with the sisters, with the brothers, with the youth. I don't feel like it. Where is your spirit? That means you're lethargic. That means you're immobile. That means your spirit is asleep. There is no desire. There is no movement. You don't want to create any change. You don't want to rock the boat. There is no progress. Guess what? You have no life. Spiritual life. And that is my concern. As your pastor, I want you to be spiritually alive. That is what God is telling us. It's time to wake up. Being spiritually asleep and continuing to fulfill the desires of the old man, because that is what will happen, such like the Romans would, can be a very dangerous situation. I mean, what really is impacted when we fall into the spiritual sleep is our relationship with our Lord. I mean, you physically think about it. You're asleep, a husband and a wife are asleep. How do you manage to get your relationship to grow further if you're not communicating because you're asleep? Relationships grow stronger because we communicate. But when you're asleep, there is no talking. There is talking in the sleep, but what was that, honey? What did you say? What? What? Who was that? Huh? What did you do? That's not communication, okay? That's not communication, right? But the relationship doesn't get any stronger when there is no true communication between the husband and the wife. So if you're both asleep, you're out. Kind of a relationship is placed on hold. When we are spiritually asleep, our relationship with God is kind of placed on hold. It's not communion. We're not getting any stronger. It's not doing that. And the consequences are great. For example, we become easy prey to the devil. Your relationship with God has not grown. Your relationship with God has not gotten any stronger. And because it hasn't gotten any stronger, it begins to get weaker and weaker. Okay? Because you're not exercising that your spiritual strength, if you will. So it gets weaker and weaker. And guess what? The devil is just waiting. Oh, you decided not to go to church while everybody is out there and you're just here carousing the internet, flipping the channels? That's all right. You chose well. You did good. I'm proud of you. So we become easy prey to the devil, so we will succumb to our carnal desires and then be attracted to all of the things of the world. Because all of a sudden, your friends will call you up and you say, what are you doing? Oh, not really, nothing. Hey, well, why don't you come on over and we can do this? Oh, okay, that's a good. And then you're all over there. And you will fall. You have become an easy prey to the devil. When you are spiritually asleep, there are so many opportunities that are passing you by. Because you're not alert. You're not awake. Things are passing you by. I mentioned that about my brother-in-law. But when you are asleep, things just pass you by. It's like, for example, when you guys are in class, in school, and you're physically there, your eyes are wide open, but you're in la-la land like you would not believe. And then before you know it, you know, class is over. Oh, professor must have left us out early today. No, you've been asleep for an hour. You know? I've done it myself. That's why I'm saying, I'm confessing. You know? Have you ever taken notes while you're asleep? Oh, my gosh. I'll go back and I read and I go, oh, I went asleep at this point. Because I'm writing and it's all, it just goes off the page. Right? I speak from experience, brothers and sisters. I know what I'm saying, right? But we can be there, but you're not there. You've missed opportunities. Ultimately, we are able to be alert and keep, we are ultimately not able to be alert and spread the gospel when we are spiritually speaking. How will we be able to bring those people to God? How will we be able to reach out to the needy, to reach out for the lost? You know that the Bible tells us that we now have become responsible for them? Ezekiel 13:17. Read what it says. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel, he says. In other words, not put Israel, put your friends and all that. He says, I have made you a watch person over your friends, he says. So hear the word that I speak and give them the warning from me. When I say to the wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out and dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sins, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. I will hold you accountable for their blood. God has made us each a person, a watch person, somebody to watch over. Okay, that could be your friend, that could be your sister, that could be your mom, that could be your dad, that could be any relative that you know is not a Christian. How can you be in that same room with that person knowing that if Jesus were to come then, you would go to heaven, but that person is going to hell, will eventually go to hell? How can we be sitting there, relaxing, chilling, having a good old time when you're staring at a corpse? When you're staring at a dead person and you're fine and dandy alive because Jesus is in your heart, but we have laid all these things aside. He says that person will surely die if you do not warn them or speak to them so that they can be dissuaded from their evil things that they are doing in order to save their life. If they continue doing the same things they are doing, they will surely die. But the Lord says, I will hold you accountable for them. You spend 15 years with that BFF that you have, with your best friend, with your husband or your wife or your, and you never said anything to them, I will hold you responsible. So this is why we need to wake up out of that. Because if this is the way that we have been living, God is telling us that we are not to continue doing that. We are to wake up from that. And with the passion that God has put in your heart, the love that he has put in your heart for your brothers and sisters that are not in the ways of God, he says, talk to them. Talk to them. But Pastor, I've already said something that you are not being held responsible for that. If you have already said something to them and told them about Christ and they denied it and they didn't want anything to do with it, in fact, you may have lost their friendship or they didn't even want you to come over to the house, then guess what? You have done your responsibility. And you will not be held accountable for their blood. For surely as they die, they will be accountable for their own blood. And they will answer to God. But you have done your job, your task, what you were called to do, and give them the word of life. This is why we have to snap out of the way we have been living. This is why we have to get up. So a goal for 2020 is to wake up with a passion for Christ to serve. That's a T. To serve him with 100% of our heart, with 100% of our soul, and 100% of our strength. That's what we have done in Deuteronomy 6, right? We are to love our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. And that denotes passion. That denotes passion. So let me clarify just a little bit here. You know, sometimes, especially when we're asleep for a very long time, you know, we will come out of that wake. We will wake up, but it's like no energies, right? It's like no strength, no real desire to get up. It's like you're dragging your feet. Where's the coffee? It's like you wake up and it's like, You don't even want to open your eyes. You know, your body is doing the motion, but you're just like, where, right? And you bang yourself into a wall, get hurt. Experience. But so we're listless, and our head is actually filled with the notion of just get back to bed. What are you doing up? Just get back to bed. You know, just, and that's what we are to do. Are you awake? Yes and no. No. So you have to be awake. You have to want to be awake with that burning desire to get up. Like you did today, right? It's Sunday. You woke up your eyes and says, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to go to Sunday. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. Because that is the way you woke up today, right?
Oh my God, it's Sunday again. Oh, I have to get up at 7 in the morning, wash the kids, feed that man. You know, oh my God, it's like, oh.
No. No, you wake up and you thank the Lord for another day. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the strength for living another day. You wake up with a passion to really accomplish the deeds that you're going to do that throughout the whole day. That is how we are to battle every day. I know you've lived your life with the whole drudgery and the getting up, but this is 2020. We are to be different now. Right? And no, and so if we begin to read again, our scripture, it's telling us that we have to awaken from our spiritual sleep. It says, and do this, understanding the present time, knowing where you're living. The hour has already come for you to awake from your slumber. The hour has come because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside all of the deeds and darknesses and put on the armor of light. Okay? And put on. Let us wake up. But let me tell you one thing. This is one thing we have to be aware. Sleep can be overpowering. It can be overpowering. Right? I mean, I know some of you guys right now are just battling. Pastor, how do you know? Because I keep seeing your eyes go like this. When I start seeing those eyes crossing, I say, oh, that person is just battling right now. Jesus, keep those visions straight. Keep them awake. Holy Spirit, just slap them. I mean, in love, right? In love. Wake them up, because sometimes that's how you just have to slap yourself, silly. So wake up, right? Sleep can be very overpowering, right? When you don't give yourself plenty of rest, physically speaking, you don't give yourself plenty of rest, or your body, that body of yours is going to say, guess what? I am missing 3 hours of sleep time, of downtime. I'm going to take it. And that's that battle we have, right? It's that battle. No, I don't want to. It's too early. No, it's too late. I can't because I can't go to sleep later on. No, I don't want to. I don't want to. And guess what? Some of those people that are driving around there and they fall asleep, body took that time back. It's a dangerous time. When you don't get that sleep just overpowers you and it takes total control and it zonks you out. So remember the time in Matthew 26 when Jesus would go out to pray? He took his three disciples, right? Peter, James, and John. He took his three disciples up to pray and he leaves Peter, James, and John right there. And Jesus says, I'll be right back. I'm going to go pray for the Father, but stay awake. Oh, yes, Father. There were three of them. Right? You want to do that. So Jesus goes out to pray for the Father, goes away, and comes back. And what were the three doing? Sleeping. And he says, what's the matter with you guys? He says, I was just gone for a little while, and I come back, and you're sleeping. You have to stay awake. Be alert. Oh, no. We will. Okay, so I'm going to go back and pray again. Stay awake. Jesus goes back again to pray to the Father. Comes back again, and the three amigos here are what? They're snoring again. It's like, didn't I just have this conversation with you? Stay awake. Be alert. Oh, sorry, Lord. Yeah, we'll stay awake. Don't worry, we'll be right here. Goes back again, Jesus. Okay? prays to the Father, comes back to them, and the three are asleep again. Brothers, sleep can be overpowering. And what I mean by this is that it's easy for us to slip back into our ways that we would have been doing before, thinking that church is just nothing, thinking that church is just a whatever. The relationship with God, he knows who I am. He knows the trouble I've been going. Passion just slowly slipping away from you. So spiritually speaking, there can be various ways that we can all fall asleep. Spiritually speaking, right? So as I was preparing the message, the Lord sent me to this resource where it actually identified various types of sleeps that we as Christians can fall under. So I said, thank you, Lord. So I was alert enough to pick them up. So here they are. So there are several sleeps that we can fall under. The first one that we can fall under is called the ego sleep, right? The ego sleep. The main identifier is in this type of sleep is that you come to church, but you come to church just to be a spectator. Okay? You say, I'll go, but I'm just going there to check out, you know, the things that I have to do, and then I'm going to go on. You consider your activities way more important than actual worship time and sitting there and learning from God. Because you're here at church, but your mind is going, oh, no, after church, I have to go do this, I have to do that, I have to buy this, and I have to do that. I want to go here, and I want to go there. And you spent the whole hour instead of receiving from God, you spent the whole hour just being a spectator, looking around, making sure that we are still alive. You know, just looking around, you know. Because have you ever been at a point where they're, especially with our kids, right? Sometimes our kids are so fall asleep that you wake them up and you just see this glossy-eyed look. You know they're gone. They're gone. They're still asleep, but their eyes are open. They're like, and then they fall. A lot of people do that at church too. But they do that. So you think that your things are much more important than the things of God because it's you. No, it's a task I have to do Sunday mornings, go to church, and then that's it. Then it's me time. Then it comes back to me. Your relationship with God is centered around your needs, your likes, your desires, and your projects. I mean, when you think of the church, all you can think of is, what can the church do for me? Well, Romans 14, 7, 8 says, for none of us live for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether you live or you die, we belong to the Lord. What he's really saying is that it doesn't matter what you do. What's more important is the Lord. What your life should be the Lord. Everything should revolve around you and your Lord. Thing is that we have placed God so far out of our area that we don't even think of that. To this ego sleep, I call them sleepwalkers, God is saying, wake up! That's your alarm. Don't hit that snooze button. If you're one of these spectators, God is telling you right now, wake up. The second one is called the religious sleep. This sleepwalker, okay, this sleepwalker comes to church, but there's no vibrancy, okay? He doesn't feel or she doesn't feel anything in the worship services, I mean, or the Bible studies. He just sees them as simple routines. Wednesdays we have Bible studies. Fridays we have men, women, and youth and children. Sunday there's no, you know, church, and then there's Sunday school, and then we eat some sort of frijoles down there, and then that's it. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. Church has become a routine to you. It's like you set up some sort of traditions, the Wednesdays, the Fridays, the Sundays, right? There's no real passion. There's no real life. All there is are just repeated motions in apparent semblance of what you think Christianity should be. Oh, they're all clapping? I need to clap too. They're raising their hands. Well, we're doing that part. We're just going like this. You know, doing kind of thing. I don't even know the songs yet. Well, you don't know the songs because you don't come to church. Continue, Pastor. I'll continue. I will continue. Because there's many more sleeps, and still says 17, but it actually 10:46. Isaiah 29:13 says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship for me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. You have no relationship with God because you have not felt. You don't know what it means. We have fallen asleep and we have grown numb to the experience, to the dynamics of work of the Holy Spirit, to the vibrancies of the brothers and the sisters, to the relationships. You have grown completely numb. And you say, oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, it's Tuesday. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. That's the religious sleep. And to this person, God is saying, wake up! Wake up! The third sleep is one they call the materialism sleep. Now, this sleepwalker here has somehow, in their mind and in their heart, managed to redefine what Matthew 6:33 says. He says, this person says, seek ye first the other things, and the kingdom of God and his righteousness will be added. Right? Because this person doesn't look towards God as being him placed in first place. He's seeing those other things should be first in my heart. Right? Those other things, their main worry are about possessions. About their money, how much money they're making, how much work, a house, the car, the health. I mean, what about your relationship with God? Oh, I don't got time for that. Mm-mm. I don't got time for that. I mean, I look at my Outlook calendar here. I have no time. Let's see. Well, you know what? I do have time in 2021. Because 2020 is all booked up. I have time for that. No. No. God should be first in our lives. The things of God should be first in our lives. But we are just too busy. Our focus has been redefined. And we are now looking towards the material things as being way more important than the spiritual things. God has become our personal bellboy to fulfill our life's desires. Because our prayer time is not only, Lord, give me, give me, give me, I want, I want, I want. That becomes our desires. Philippians 3, verses 18 and 20 says, For as I have often told you before, and now I tell you again with tears, says Paul, many live, as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mindset is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Savior from them, our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, their mind is set on earthly things. Not on heavenly things, on earthly things. To this sleepwalker, please don't do that. Thank you. To this sleepwalker, the Lord is saying, wake up! Wake up! The Lord, the spiritual things are more important than your material things. Now, the fourth one, I lost track of time. The fourth one is the... The fourth one okay, right when it was all getting good. And I know why it happened. Because somebody doesn't want you to wake up. Okay? Somebody got to this one and he just said, you know what? Oh, no, Mijo, I got mine. Thank you. I mean, Brother Jay. That is for you, for for your visual. I have my notes. I'll just be clicking. Put the clicker down. Okay. So the fourth one is called the false freedom sleep. Okay? The false freedom sleep. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there is someone, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. He says, come back to your senses and stop sinning. See, the sleepwalkers are those that are under this false freedom sleep, have managed to redefine their newfound freedom in Christ. They have taken it to mean that freedom is to do whatever you want to do, but they have confused freedom with unbridled freedom. Okay? They're doing whatever you want to do. With no restraints, they're living, fulfilling their desires of the flesh. Because a lot of them think and say, I can do whatever they want because God in His graciousness and His merciness will always forgive me. No, says Paul. Just because there's an abundance of grace doesn't mean that you're going to continually have an abundance of sin. He says, no, you will not. So it doesn't, to be free in Christ doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want because God will always forgive you. That is wrong. This philosophy of life here is what we call amoral. In other words, they have no morality, the philosophy of life, because they say good and bad are relative. Right? In other words, what's good for you and what's bad for you is not good or bad for me. So I can continue living my life. You all are old, and you guys are living according to what you think is bad or sin, but I don't think it that way, so I'll do it my own way. That is wrong. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, for I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Yes, we have freedom in Christ, but it's not freedom to do whatever we want to do. Paul tells the Corinthians, come back to your senses and stop sinning. If you're one of these false freedom sleepers, guess what? God is telling you today, wake up. Wake up. And perhaps the most dangerous and damaging type of sleep is the following one. That was the one I'll have to show you guys next Sunday about that one. But that one is called the indifference sleep, also known as the cold sleep. I mean, it's the most dangerous one because it's the one that most resembles death. When a person gets so cold, more than the body can handle, it puts the body into a state of hypothermia, right? Hypothermia. And when hypothermia sets in, the person here cannot move, okay? The color of their skin begins to turn blue. The body doesn't shiver anymore because they're in this kind of like frozen state. Somnolence takes over, and somnolence is a state of strong desire for sleep. It's like, I want to sleep, I just want to sleep, I just want to sleep, right? Mental irrationality is just like nothing makes sense. The logic is all out. Breathing and the heart palpitations begin to slow down. If this persists, the vital organs begin to shut down. And this is what's known as clinical death. Okay? When hypothermia kicks in because you are so cold, it's like your whole body begins to shut down. Right? You think you're actually wanting to sleep, you're actually dying. Okay? Interesting to note, is that our consciousness is so low, right, that when we begin to perceive that we actually want to sleep, we're beginning dying. This is what's called a sweet death. Because you're dying, and all you really want to do is just go back to sleep, right? If we look at this from a spiritual perspective, the coldness doesn't just happen. I mean, it starts slowly. And bit by bit, it starts growing and taking over. To the point where then you just become indifferent. You slowly begin to neglect the things of God. Prayer. Did you pray today? I pray for my food. Thank you, Lord, for the food. Amen. But did you pray anything else other than before or after? Why? God knows what I'm thinking. God knows what's in my heart. You don't do any more reading of the Bible. What for? You know, I don't understand it. It's too complicated. You don't bother coming to church anymore. Why? Nobody likes me. I mean, nobody cares me. Nobody wants me to go there anyway. Yeah, but you're the pastor. Indifference takes over. And you're like saying, whatever. You know, church, you slowly begin to detach yourself from this life of God. Then you just lose feeling. And it just simply does not matter anymore. It simply doesn't matter. Right? Even without knowing it, when you grew cold, you strayed away and you separated with God. Your relationship with God is no more, and you become now indifferent to all of these things. Prayer, Bible, as I was mentioning, worship. You know, there's nothing there. You see, this is why it's so dangerous. You could slowly be growing cold until eventually you just stop living spiritually. Eventually you just slip away, slowly and surely, into this hypothermic stage of your spiritual life. So how can we revive? How can we snap out of this one? Well, if it's spiritual hypothermia you're battling, then we need to ignite the fire. We need to get you warm back up again. We need to get you close to the fire. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like fire? He says, you want to wake up again? Here's your fire. Here's your furnace. Here's what's going to restore the warmth, the vitality, excuse me, back into your life. The word of God symbolizes fire. And it'll heat you right back up again and take you out from this hypothermic death-like state in your life. If you're finding yourself in this situation, God says for you today, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. In conclusion, you hear the alarm going off to try to get you to wake up. Stop hitting that snooze button and just get up. Put on the armor of light. So let us put aside, the Bible is saying, all of our deeds of darkness. He says that to only seek to keep you asleep and cold. Those selfish desires that you only want to focus on in your life are not of service to God. They're of service to you. You know, the more, as I was mentioning today, we already have gone 3 weeks of January. Wake up. It's another J word, you know. They're all the same. They're all the same. No, they're not, right? 2 weeks, 3 weeks of January have already passed by. What does that tell us? That time quickly passes by. In these 3 weeks, how many opportunities of spreading God's word have you already missed? Have you already missed? I mean, the needs become greater and greater. And guess what? God is waiting. Christ is calling, and the Holy Spirit is longing for you. Brothers and sisters, let's wake up in 2020. Let's wake up and allow the passion for our God to burn intensely for Him. Let that be your desire and your main focus for 2020. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the things that are happening around us, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, you are always with us. We thank you, Father, because you have set that alarm clock and we are listening, Lord. Allow us to wake up with the energies, the strength, the desire, Lord, to honor and worship you. To serve you, Lord, to be those gospel takers to our friends, to our families that don't know of you, Father. Touch those lives of those individuals that you will put before us, Lord, so that when they hear the message that you put in our lips, it may fall on good and healthy ground, Lord. Fill our lives, Lord, with that passion this entire year, Lord, to honor you and worship you, Lord. But most importantly, Father, Holy Spirit, do not allow us to fall asleep again. Give us the strength and give us the energies to continue. Because all this I ask in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.